Good evening. I'm Diane Messer. I live in Liberty, and I have also been privileged to attend every one of the task force meetings, as a matter of fact. Fascinating subject. This is a learn-as-you-go process. I really appreciate many of the concerns that have been voiced. This demo citing for testing out the technology is testing on many different levels. We're going to be testing the environmental impacts, the impact on marine life, on livelihood of fishermen, and this is something that we need constant feedback on throughout the entire demo process, and I would encourage everyone to be active participants to follow this process as it goes through the entire demo siting and as it approaches entry into the permanent siting phase. And also, I want to call people's attention to the very positive aspects. We don't have to have a really distant memory to think back on last winter and what the oil prices were, and that's just a small taste. We're in a lull right now, and whether it's speculation or wars or whatever is controlling our prices of oil, you can be certain that it's going to go back up again significantly. And as oil approaches $100, $200 a barrel, and our prices for heating oil in our homes get to $5, $10 a gallon, we're going to be a lot more interested in wind, and the time to be preparing ourselves, to be testing the technology, to be learning the pitfalls and the positive aspects is now, when we have this little lull. Let's get started and let's get the process going and everyone stay involved. And I'm sorry, that wasn't really a question, but a comment because I did want to share with everyone present. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Hello, Vivian Newland from South Thomaston. I just have a sort of question with regard to the information sheet you have here. With the website, I have not seen this testing Ocean Energy in Maine website yet, but I wondered whether that will include the baseline data on the habitat issues and the monitoring protocols and the results of the monitoring as that goes forward. Whether all of this will be public information, are there any proprietary aspects to any of these things that we're trying to find out?
We're discussing right now the method that we can use to get the data layers up and available so the public can see them. We're calling it the Coastal Atlas. Mm-hmm. And a few layers, not many, but a few contain proprietary information. We have a bibliography where we've gone through the data sources and what the data quality is and what the date was and who maintains it. And so we know which layers are proprietary.
I was really thinking in terms of feeding into the decision of selecting these sites, whether the information on those topics is available now for us to look at.
It's not available now. All that's available now are the static maps that you saw that were displayed tonight. You want to say something?
We just haven't found the best way to make it available to the public in a way that makes sense. I think that a lot of the data that we have is publicly available data. Most of the stuff that we've collected in our database is all publicly available data. So there's upwards of 14 terabytes or 20 terabytes of data that go into this. So it's a question of how do we make it available. I think from the university's perspective, anything that we have that we can make publicly available, we will. The proprietary data that we talk about is some companies go out and collect this data and sell it. We're not allowed to share it to the public because it hasn't been. That's not a permission of our license, and other people will be able to go out and buy that as well. So that's really.
Well, I was trying to relate this back to the decision you're discussing tonight,
right,
which is the site selection,
right,
and how much of the information on which this is based is readily available.
if you have a 14 terabyte hard drive, I'll make a copy for you.
But will it be on the website, though?
We're trying to figure out how to manage that huge resource.
We're trying to make it efficient.
Absolutely.
On the site.
And the way it is right now, it's in hard coded maps. Really.
Thank you.
I really don't know a terabyte is a really lot of information.
It's about what your Facebook account has on it right now.
I've seen a lot of this data, and it's just, there's a lot. I mean, you put it all on the map, and the map disappears. And it needs to be looked through piece by piece, and like Kathleen said, kind of qualified in terms of the questions you want to ask. I suspect, Kathleen, that at some point, when decisions are starting to be made, and there's a synthesis of information that is germane to a given selected area, that there'll be some kind of a presentation that says, we found an area, and we answered these concerns, and we have some lingering concerns here that we'll follow up with our, as we develop and monitor for those concerns, and the state of the knowledge has led us to this, and we'll share anything that led the state to make that decision, which is probably a smaller bit of information than 14 terabytes.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's all the data we have for the whole Gulf of Maine. We get down to a square mile or so, then we can start, you know, really refining and being able to share with them.
What about, Vivian asked another question, and that was as the monitoring protocols are developed, and presumably this is all part of the leasing development, any other policy or regulation that comes either before they're in place or as you have the experience of putting these in the water, you say, no, we ought to be monitoring for this. Is there a way to keep folks informed and thinking in that regard?
The way the monitoring is arranged is that when an applicant applies for a permit, so even after these test sites have gone through the public comment period and are finalized, there will be no monitoring plans in place until an applicant goes to the DEP for a general permit. At that time, they need to submit their individual monitoring plans to all the agencies that Linda mentioned before. There's been some talk, the Bird and Bat group, right, Matt, has talked about having sort of a science advisory council to, and marine mammals too, and I don't know where that recommendation is going to end up. We still need to discuss it, but a science panel that would have access and look at this information periodically. But I don't see why, you know, unless something in a monitoring plan or equipment that they were using was proprietary, why we couldn't make that available as well.
According to the legislation, they're required to report, I think it's annually, to the agency the results of their monitoring plan. And so then it's a question, I can't imagine that most of the environmental stuff would be proprietary. You know, whether or not the composite holds up or not might not be the same as the other stuff.
The results of the monitoring plans would be available through those reports. I thought you were asking, where's Vivian? Oh, there you are. I thought you were asking before that, before the results.
Both.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Kalash,